Hey, everybody, this is Gordon in Boston.
And this is Mark in San Francisco.
And this is Build Phase. What's up, man?
Dude, threes.
So good.
I was up until 1 a.m. playing threes.
So good. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, I killed my battery yesterday just playing this game. I was at the Vim meetup here last night. I shouldn't have gone. I should have just stayed at home and played threes because that's all I did anyway. I don't think I listened to anything. I was just sitting in there in the back playing. That's all I did. I feel like kind of a jerk now because I'm like looking back. I was like, oh, maybe I should have like listened to the speakers or whatever. But that game is so good.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
It seems, you know.
Yeah. It's along the same lines as, I never played Dots. Did you play Dots?
No.
I never played that one, but I've heard that it's like, it's similar, but better than Dots. And then it reminds me a lot of Letterpress without the, what's the word for competing in the way, I don't know, man. Competition. That's the competition.
Yeah. It's single player.
right.
Do you have a strategy yet? I haven't landed on one that works really well, but I have found that trying to work all the tiles towards a corner,
yeah,
that's is generally pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like I've played probably 100 games, and no, I don't have a really great strategy. One thing I've been doing is trying to get rid of the colored tiles as soon as they come in. Mm-hmm. And then also trying to pay really, really, especially in the end game, pay really close attention to what the next tile is and really think about those moves. Cause I feel like once I realized the way the next tile system works and where it comes, like, I feel like I've been able to extend the end game like significantly just by paying closer attention to that.
I can't figure out where the tile comes on.
I think it's random. It's randomly over those four or five slots. It's random over the four or five slots that are open, I think. But it's always coming on in the direction that you swiped.
Okay.
So if I swipe to the right, it's going to come in from the left. If I swipe from the top down, it's going to come from the top. Always. So you can, you know, like if it's a blue and I can move this way and I'd have a spot next to another blue, or I can move this way and I'd have a spot next to a red, you should swipe, you know, in the direction that forces it to put it next to the red. So then you can swipe back and get a three, yeah. And then hopefully that can cascade into all the stuff.
Yeah. Having your reds with your reds and your blues with your blues is poison. Like that's how.
Yeah. Yeah. Games end real quick.
Yeah.
Freaking Josh Steiner seriously got like 7,000 points in one game. He combined, he got a 368 or whatever. He combined, it's like the 96 and 96, and then
it's probably 386.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he got, I'm sure, like 6,000 points just from that one tile.
My best, I think, is 2,600.
Yeah, like you're beating me.
I had two 192s at one point, but I could not get them combined. Threes.
That's what he did. That's what he had. He had two 192s combined, I think. Yeah, that makes sense. He had two 192s combined, and that's how I got so many points. But,
and that was like my third game. And I've probably played about 100, so it's been really demeaning.
Yeah,
since then.
Yeah, I broke 1,000 on my first game, like the very first game, and I was like, "Oh, this game's super easy. I don't understand." And then I was like, 200, 300, 400. Awful.
So while we're talking about games, what is Flappy Bird, Gordon?
Dude, I don't know. I bought it and I downloaded it and. I don't get why people find that fun. I really don't. Plus, holy shit, are there ads in that game. Everywhere.
I haven't seen it, but that's what I heard.
So it's...
I'm,
It's
glad
like,
people spent money on threes.
It's that, well, it's free. Flappy
well,
Bird
I know,
is free.
But
it's one of those birds, fish bird things from Super Mario. You gotta know what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay, no, I do know what you're talking about. I'm just...
It is. So
I'm just wondering how they haven't been...
I don't know. Sued out of into oblivion? I don't know.
Sent a cease and desist yet.
You literally, like... So, Flappy Bird, you tap it. It's like a really crappy... I don't know. There's definitely a book. There's definitely a game, another game like this. But, yeah. Maybe like one of those old helicopter games where you have to keep it up, keep it floating. You know what I mean?
Oh, is it like Tiny Wings?
Not really, because Tiny Wings is all about the descent and ascent kind of stuff. So it's longer strategic taps. This is like you tap it and he goes up and then he immediately falls like a brick because it's like a fish bird thing, right? It's not.
Sure. Yes, of course.
In all seriousness, like the flying dynamics of the fish bird are probably pretty accurate. Like I can't imagine that thing is incredibly aerodynamic. But so, like, it basically goes straight up and straight down, and then you have to get it through, there's, like, the pipes from Super Mario. Like, it's such an unbelievable ripoff. There's the pipes from Super Mario, and so you have to fly in between the pipes. I got, like, 3 points, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna go play threes again.
Okay, so apparently this game is making 50 grand a day.
Off ads. I believe it. I believe it. Their strategy for ad impressions is insane. I couldn't believe how many ads I saw. I mean, it's just one banner, right? But it's an ad on the main screen. You start the game, and there's another ad. And while it's waiting you, and then when you tap to actually initiate, like, you click start, and it goes to, like, this pause screen, essentially, and there's another ad. And then when you tap it to actually start the game, I'm pretty sure the ad changes again. And then the whole time you're playing, I think it'll cycle ads. And then when you die, it hits another ad impression. You know what I mean? That's, yeah, like, so many ad impressions. And that takes 20 seconds tops, and you've got like 6 or 7 ad impressions.
You know what this game looks like is the water levels from Mario. Is it the same idea? Like, you have to keep tapping.
Does it look
to
like the
up.
Water levels? It doesn't look like the water levels.
Well,
at least
I mean,
the
it's,
first
it's not
level
in water. No, but I mean, like, the basic idea that, like, you have to tap repeatedly,
yes,
to go
actually,
up, and if you let go, you fall down.
Actually, that's exactly what I was thinking of before. Yes, is that you swim up and then you let go and you drops down, except for it's way, way, way more drastic. Like, one tap and he's like, I don't know. Like I said, flight dynamics are all jacked.
Yeah, step up your physics game, Flappy Bird.
Well, no, I don't. I think, like I said, I think that they're pretty accurate, given that their character is a weird fish bird thing.
Well, okay.
You expect those things to be like super graceful, gliding. I don't. I bet they fall like a rock.
That's true. They are pretty oblong.
Yeah.
How was your week there, buddy?
It's good. Weird, but good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Snow. Freaking annoying snow again.
Oh, that's still happening. Ugh. Snow is still a thing.
Yeah. It kind of dumped on Wednesday. So worked from home on Wednesday. And that's after I feel like I worked from home last week too. Because it was supposed to snow and then it totally didn't. But yeah, I don't know. We got like 6 inches, maybe more.
We finally got some rain.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So it's so bad here. I don't know if you heard this, but restaurants do not automatically bring water out to you right now.
So it's like the Olympics.
Speaking of the Olympics, did you hear?
Was that a segue?
Sorry. A terrible one. Did you see the thing about the Russian official claiming that Westerners are trying to sabotage the Olympics? And then went on to say that they had surveillance footage of people turning the shower on, pointing the head at the wall, and leaving for the day? until like an aide like pulled him away because he just admitted that they have like surveillance in the bathrooms.
Right. Sure.
Man, I love the Winter Olympics, but this is going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Olympics are great. Just like turn on any time and watch what's happening.
Yeah.
I can be entertained.
Yeah.
It's all about that luge. And not about curling.
No, that's a dumb sport.
Well, I was trying to segue into real discussion, and then we somehow got back onto the Olympics.
Yeah, sorry. Continue with your segue.
I auto-layouted this week.
Yeah?
Like, really for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, really got into it.
Thoughts?
Mm.
Yeah. I could tell talking to you earlier this week.
I'm coming around.
Yeah. Do you want to give some background on, like, not the app, but, like, kind of the, without going into too much, obviously, but, like, the detail, the kind of restrictions you're working under?
So, no nibs.
Because I do think that's important. I think it's an important aspect of your exposure to auto layout so far. Like, this week specifically, I think.
But. So, yes. So, no nibs. And the very first thing I tried to do was a rather complex view. And it's complex because it has multiple states. So you can think that in one state, you might have two views attached to one another. So imagine we have view A and view B is attached to it. Okay?
Yep.
So it can like move around. Then when you go to another state, view A goes away. View B appears, or view C, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then view B, now it needs to be attached to view C. And it needs to follow it around.
Hmm.
And so I'm using the visual format language where I can. I don't know if I'm doing this right, but I'm holding on to layout constraints for the ones that need to change for animations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about the code that's in there for auto layout right now, just because it's so, so much code. I think I got it down to about 70 lines per view, but still.
That view did load?
Yep. Well, I mean, I finally moved it into like a
actual view
setup. No, no, no.
Oh, setup constraints kind of a thing.
Yeah, just to get it out of view to load. Yeah. But it's a mess. It really threw me into the deep end having to like do animations and can't use Interface Builder.
Yeah.
Writing all the constraints in code.
Yeah, animations plus no nibs. Plus, not a whole lot of experience with auto layout doesn't sound like, total mm-hmm. deep end of the pool kind of thing.
So once I got it up and running before I started the animations, I saw the potential of auto layout. Like it was really quick to kind of like move things around
mm-hmm.
on screen without mm-hmm. having to do any frame math.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to that point, I just kept thinking like, I could do this so much faster.
Yeah. And I've done that. I did because we've been using auto layout extensively, auto layout and storyboards and view controller containment on this project. And that combo, especially, and this app doesn't have a whole lot of animation. It's relatively static. It's not super flashy. And it's been working awesome for us, that combo, pulling stuff out into view controller containment stuff. We've kind of gone, I don't want to say we've we're using view controller containment constantly. Anytime there's a view controller or a table view controller, but that also needs like a floating button, we're just using view controller containment to have a table view controller, a static table view controller embedded inside the main view controller. And then the buttons all wired up and then that whole thing is controlled via auto layout. And all the static table view cells are rendered with auto layout because they're all different heights. And one of them is a variable height. So it has like this masonry kind of label structure. So it has like labels with a stroke around them. And the server can return any number of these labels. And so it'll just stack them, it'll go to the end until it can't fit another one on the line that'll drop down and keep putting them, right? And just kind of build it up that way. And so that cell specifically can be any height. And that height is all calculated via auto layout. But the masonry stuff itself is still all frame math. Like, I still just kind of went back and did that in frame math just because it was easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm. But collection views would have been overkill.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. We had kind of talked through that, and it kind of made more sense for me to create like a class that essentially does like a masonry layout manager that just takes two views. It takes a view that should be preceding that view, and then the super view, and does the calculations itself to figure out, do I need to drop to a new line? Can it fit on this line? You know, and that's all super well tested. So I'm not, you know, that was the main thing, honestly, is like, I wasn't sure how to test the auto layout code in a good way, as opposed to this, where I can just return CG rects and make assertions on my CG rects.
Do you think testing auto layout code is difficult because it forces you to try to figure out what auto layout is going to do?
Yeah, and also because I'm just not entirely sure what the return object I should be looking at is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I guess it should, I should be testing a constraint, but I don't necessarily want to, I don't know. It's kind of weird to, it makes testing hard.
If all your constraints are an interface builder, does that mean that you would have to make outlets for all of them?
I wouldn't test that. If I'm doing it in interface builder, I wouldn't test that. But like in this case, this is a dynamic view that had to lay out its subviews in a specific way that should be testable. You know what I mean? That seems like a very testable thing. And there's logic in there. You know what I mean? If, you know, the starting X coordinate plus the width is greater than the super view's width, then set X to 0 and increment the Y. You know, it's right. Literally that simple. And that's logic that's easily tested. That's logic that, you know, you can just... So it's this weird combo where I have the cell itself is using auto layout. That thing is using frame math to lay itself out. But then the cell, the actual label things are view objects that are using auto layout to size themselves. Oh, are they? They may not be, actually. I may have lied about that. I don't remember. Whatever. Not important. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me when I was getting started, maybe this will help other people, is that I felt compelled to try to figure out how auto layout was going to resolve all of these constraints that I had given it.
Mm-hmm.
When you really like can't worry about absolute placement, I guess.
Yeah.
Or you can't get too hung up on it at first.
Yeah.
So I ended up like stepping back, throwing a bunch of constraints at the wall, seeing like what would stick, just to kind of get things roughly laid out.
Yeah. Yeah. And man, it's like every suggestion I have for making your life easier, I have to remind myself you're not using nibs because, and it's weird because Xcode 5, everyone always said, just do auto layout and code. That's the only way it makes sense. Only do auto layout and code. Do not use Xcode, like do not use Interface Builder to set up auto layout. And either I didn't get into auto layout, like I didn't really start using it until Xcode 5, but I would feel exactly the opposite now. I anytime I find myself needing to create constraints in code, I'm like, oh god, is there a way I can do this in Interface Builder instead? Because it, especially for simple things, you know what I mean, centering a view inside its super view, you know, that's a very, very simple thing to do, and in Interface Builder it's like two clicks and then it's set up and I don't have to look at that crap in my code somewhere, versus, you know, and so like stuff like you're talking about, like throwing a bunch of constraints at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like I do that same thing in Interface Builder, except for what I do is I add the constraints and then I tell Interface Builder to update all frames in this view. And then inevitably one of them gets jumped way off screen into the corner because something is screwed up. But then it's like, okay, cool. Command Z, pull them all back in. Let me see what's missing, you know, kind of like visually look at the constraints, look at where it's all tied together and say, oh, I see this one is tied to that, but that thing doesn't actually have a height. You know what I mean? So now I set a height on that thing. And then when I hit update frames, everything just goes bloop and like locks into place. And it's such a satisfying feeling. Plus, the whole 3.5-inch, 4-inch screen, like I don't have to think about that because there's a button in the bottom where I just go like, now I'm displaying this as if it's a 3.5 screen. Now I'm displaying it as if it's a 4-inch screen, you know? And just like I can see without running the app, without clicking into that interface, I can see how my entire interface reacts to being on different size screens.
I think that's really important because that caught me up. It makes me feel better to know that we basically have the same workflow of test and check, which seems crazy. Like I know auto layout is poorly named and all that, but the fact that we have to test and check to get it to work.
I mean, I think that just comes with experience. You know what I mean? Like I can write things now in code that maybe, you know, a year ago, I've just got more familiarity with specific parts of the language and specific parts of the frameworks. You know what I mean? Where before it was like, I think this is going to work. Like, run it. And it's like, okay, that's not exactly, oh, okay, I have to do this other thing instead, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's like, I've done this a million times at this point. You know, I know this is going to work. I've literally done this a million times. I've written these exact characters out on screen. So, you know, you don't have to make those checks. I find myself understanding what auto layout is doing better now than I did when I started messing with it.
When you think about constraints for a given view, are you still just trying to add just enough constraints to give it an absolute origin and size? Or is that like the wrong way to go about it? Because that's how I've been
thinking
about it.
I think that it's crucial to only give the view as many constraints, like as few constraints as possible. When you start adding, and that's one of the reasons why it's kind of easier in Interface Builder to do that, right? Is because I can add one constraint, add one constraint, add one constraint. The second everything turns blue on the screen, like I'm not worried about it anymore. You know what I mean? Like I'm just trying to get rid of the red or yellow indicators.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely think, and I wouldn't say that I'm thinking about it as being like an absolute position. Like, for example, I had, basically four text fields, text field on top, text field on bottom, and then sandwiched in between were two text fields that were the same size. You get it? So it's like one, then two, then one. Mm-hmm. And when I was setting that up, I wasn't necessarily thinking that that third one had to be, I think there were like 60 point, like I made the text fields huge, right? So I wasn't thinking like, oh, I have to position this 120 points off the top margin. It was just position at 0 points off the relative. You know what I mean? Off these two guys. Right. And then those two were position 0 off the top guy. And then it was position 0 off. So like instead of thinking about stuff the way it relates, the actual placement of each specific thing, like the frame of each specific thing, it's just all about the relations to one another.
Okay. Yeah. Then that may be something I'm doing differently because I have practically no
relations.
Constraints between sibling views.
Yeah.
Everything I have is always in relation to the super view.
Uh-huh.
which may explain the problems I was having when trying to get down to a 3.5-inch screen.
Sure.
And also, I think that it's kind of up to the designer now to show, like, what should this look like on a 3.5-inch screen?
Yes.
Because we have options. Do I shrink these labels to make them fit?
Yes.
Do I shrink the padding? Like,
yes.
And that stuff is really important. Like, relations of, you know, labels and elements on screen is, from a design perspective, is very important.
Yeah.
So, like, I need guidance on how do I properly adapt this screen for 3.5-inch? How do I do it in landscape?
Yeah. Well, you know, don't use landscape.
Oh, that's
turn that crap off.
Well, hold on. No nibs.
Yeah.
Everything in code has to support landscape. Haven't got there yet.
And I feel like I should also point out, no third party layers on top of auto layout. No. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I should try more sibling view.
I would. And try leaving out things like width and height. You know what I mean? I've had a lot of success with leaving out stuff like width and height and just defining padding. And if you just leave out width and height, then those views become inherently flexible, right? Like, if you're not, or like just a width or just a height, you know what I mean? Like, yes, this text field has to be 44 points. You know what I mean? Or this button, you know what I mean? This button has to be 44 points. That's my touch target. That's the size I don't want this button to be. But, you know, it can be any width that you need. You know, this centering labels, actually, one of the way that I've been centering labels, because it's the easiest way to do it, is don't give them a width, don't give them a height, just pin the edges to the super view. So if you just have a view and it's just got a label that's supposed to be like centered horizontally horizontally. Yeah. All freaking week. I'm sorry. I have to keep second guessing myself, because all freaking week I've been switching horizontal and vertical. Like, I don't know why. Anyway. So if you have a label and it needs to be centered horizontally, I've been setting the text attributes so that it's center aligned, like, right? So the text is center aligned. And then I've just been letting it stretch the label to the edges. That's all I've been doing. Maybe setting some top padding and then pinning both edges all the way out to the edge of the super view and centered label, right? That's it. That's as simple as it is. Centering other things isn't as easy in Interface Builder, because you can't. One of the nice things that you can do in auto layout is like saying things should be the same, you know, like again, going back to my text field example from earlier, top text view, bottom text view, those are full width, but then the middle two text fields needed to share the same space and be the same size. So I didn't have to do the frame math and figure out, well, how much, you know, how wide is this screen, divide that by two, set the frame, that kind of thing. All I did in Interface Builder is I like right-clicked and dragged, and then set, or control-clicked and dragged, and then said equal widths. You know what I mean? And then set the pin the horizontal space between them to zero, and then each one is pinned to its respective side of the super view to zero. And now those two views are going to take up that entire width and be the exact same size. And like, no code, no math, no nothing. If for example, we were supporting landscape orientation, that would work. You could just turn it around and it would just expand to fit its super view. No problem. But when you're trying to center something, right, the way that I would normally, you would think about wanting to center something is saying that, like, I have this thing, and I have a width and a height, maybe. You know what I mean? And I don't really care necessarily. I don't really care how far away from the edges it is in the super view. All I really care about is that the left padding and the right padding are the same. See what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
It's a more declarative way. Like, that's kind of one of the things about auto layouts. Think about it in more of a declarative way, right? Like, so don't think about, like, how far away from the super view do I have to put this thing so that it's centered? Just think about, like, centered just means that it has equal space on the right and the left. Right. That's all it actually means. So it'd be really nice if I could say, and you can do this in code, right? But it would be really nice if I could say, this left constraint, I don't care what it is. It just needs to be equal to the right constraint.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And then, because then as the view shrinks or grows or whatever, those two are just going to be like, okay, well, I just have to stay the same as that guy. And I have X amount of space, so I'll divide that X amount of space in two, and that's just what I'll take up. And my view will stay centered, the right size, you know.
Yeah. So I, in my case, I have an image view that's a set width and height, and I want it centered horizontally and, you know, pinned to some other element on the vertical axis.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes four lines of auto layout to do.
Right. Because
so you have to set the width and the height separately using the visual format language.
Mm-hmm.
And then two more constraints, one that makes it equal to the center X of the super view.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, like a top constraint to pin it to some element above it. What I've found is that, or what I want is support for the tilde in the visual format language. So the dash means standard padding, you know, 8 pixels, or you can do dash and then parenthesis with some value in it and dash. And that just kind of means that like this thing will be this wide.
Uh-huh.
But I'd love to be able to use the tilde as like flexible space. Because then at least I could collapse the horizontal placement with into the width visual format.
Yeah.
So it would be like super view, you know, with a pipe, tilde, name of the view, tilde, and the pipe again. And I could do that in both directions.
Yeah.
I think that would make a big difference.
That'd be huge. Because there's no good way to do that now in the VFL stuff. You know, I mean, you could say, you know, greater than 10 points, for example, on both sides, but then only one of those has to hit. Like there's no way of saying, you know, you're still not saying that they should be equal. You're just saying that they should be over 10. So one could just be like I don't know how it would pan out, but I can see that really fast being like, oh, well, okay, this left one, I'll just make that 10. And then the right one will be 200, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because that satisfies both of those requirements that they're both greater than 10.
Right. But I guess I'm hoping for Autolea to look at the tilde and just think that, okay, this is a constant.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have a value here, but I know that when I see this in one VFL, they should always be equal based on like, let's look at the width or height of these elements and figure out with math, like how flexible does this thing need to be and then apply that everywhere else.
Yeah, I did have the thought when I first started getting into auto layout, like, I don't know, 6 months ago. When I first, and this was before Xcode 5, I think. But when I started looking at auto layout and I was doing VFL, I did feel like there should be some other way inside the VFL to declare a pushing element or a pulling element. You know what I mean? Like a spring kind of a thing, like push this as far as it can go while still satisfying all the constraints, or pull this thing as far as it can go while still satisfying the constraints, like that kind of a thing. And that's kind of what you're talking about too, right? Those pushing, those flexible space. And this is the way the flexible space works, like in toolbar buttons and stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
It pushes on both sides as hard as it can, right? While still satisfying all the constraints.
Correct. Yes.
And so if those are both pushing on both sides, then bang, centered, done.
That's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Is for that to mean like flexible space, exactly how UI toolbar does it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be super nice. You should open a radar. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay, I think I will.
You should. I bet. I mean, that would be huge. That would make that formatting language so much more powerful, I think. Or at least it would make it'd solve a lot of these problems that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know, come to think of it, if you follow the same convention as using the dashes and then putting a value in parenthesis, you could still put the parenthesis value in between the tildes and have it mean like the compression resistance of that sort of like flexible space.
Yep. Yeah, or still use the minimum size. You know what I mean? Like still say it's flexible, but it has to be greater than. Mm-hmm. Like by default, it'll be flexible and then take the system's default space, right? So 10 points on OS 10, 8 points on iOS right now anyway. But then you could override that the exact same ways with this, the dash, right? And say greater than 50, you know?
Yeah.
Make this flexible, but it has to be at least 50.
I also want the ability to put two values and like a comparison symbol between them. So instead of saying just greater than or equal to 10, I want to say greater than or equal to 10, but less than or equal to 50. Like I want to say,
this can you not do that?
Like 10 to 50. I don't think so. I think it only allows one value.
I guess you'd have to set multiple constraints, which you can do.
Right.
And that
gets
into like priority stuff, which always confuses me because I don't remember which way.
I want to just write 10 greater than equal to 50.
Yeah.
And just have it say like, okay, here's your range.
Yeah.
It can go anywhere in here.
Yeah.
So animating wasn't as hard as I thought it was. Actually getting the constraints to animate.
Yeah. Actually animating constraints is easy, right? You just change the constraints inside an animation block. It's all the kind of bullshit, right? Am I wrong?
Is that how you do it? So what I'm doing is I'm changing the constraint before the animation block. Then in the animation block, I'm just calling layout if needed on the view, the super view.
That may be right.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right.
All right.
Same
it works.
Concept though. Yeah, I don't know that there's a functional difference between what you're saying and what I'm saying. I think your way is probably the recommended way. I haven't done a whole lot of animation with auto layout. So if that's working for you, stick with it.
It is for the simple animations, but when it came to like getting multiple views to kind of move together, instead of trying to break constraints and re-add them and then animate those, I found taking advantage of CA layers sort of like render tree to be advantageous. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually have to manipulate the view or the layer itself, but I can animate the layer from its present position to some new position and then just update like the backing layer. And as far as auto layout is concerned, that view hasn't gone anywhere. Its layer just kind of left the building.
Okay.
So that's been super helpful. If you have complex animations, I recommend taking advantage of that. Just move the layer, leave the view. Yeah. Auto layout will never know the difference. Also, in addition to not being able to modify the frame of a view, touching the transform on a view is a very bad idea.
Does it?
Using auto layout.
Oh, yeah.
It just flips out.
Yeah.
Which I guess is to be expected. If you do need to transform a view, you have to put it inside another view. So it's not using auto layout in there.
Oh, I see.
And then that view is like, so auto layout is laying that view out in your...
I see. So you like you essentially create the positioning with a super view. So you wrap it in a view, use auto layout to position that super view, and then the sub view gets animated with a transform.
Yeah. Right.
Smart.
In a rotate or scale or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Smart. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Auto layout, man. Just can't handle my scale, you know?
Oh, man. That's so mean.
Is it?
Well... See how you feel when you have to open 100 projects in one Xcode workspace.
Meh. Oh. I think people wouldn't have been jumping on that line so much if he hadn't said earlier that they have like the best iOS team on the planet.
Including Cupertino. Cupertino. I know. Well, you know, he changed the whole wording of that, right?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eloy from CocoaPods was like, you guys are mean. He's like, why are you all jumping on this guy for this block, this Quora answer that he wrote? And then you go back and read it and you're like, this isn't the same answer at all. Like he just reworded the entire thing because it, you know, sounded douchey. So it sounds significantly less douchey now, which is good. But man, that first draft, It's probably the reason the core is not a great idea, right? It's because, like, or an awesome idea. Because, like, random, you know, like, I don't know who that guy was, and I don't want to give him crap, you know, because he's just, like, a guy. But, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like an answer like that probably should have been vetted by somebody at some point. You know what I mean? Like, we have essentially code review for blog posts, right?
Right.
You know, like, we have code review for blog posts. So,
I've never really considered that I've always just thought of it as peer editing, but I guess that's because here nobody's going to post something,
right?
Like, kind of inflammatory that's going to get people up in arms.
Well, I don't think he meant to be inflammatory. I really don't. I just think the guy's enthusiastic about the team, and
it was a little arrogant.
Yeah.
Just a skosh.
It was. I really don't want to talk about this.
No. It's fine. I just wanted to drop in real quick and make that scale joke. And
sure.
We can
back out and then. That's fair. Have you used any of the open source auto layout stuff? I'm trying to look up.
There's a good library.
I'm trying to remember which one.
By Richard Turton.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's just called UIView Auto Layout on GitHub. Here, I'll send it to you. This guy is super active on Stack Overflow. We were like neck and neck with regard to rep there for a while.
Yeah.
He's since pulled away. I'm not very active anymore. I just accrue like 70 points a day from old answers.
It's right. Great. Man, it drives me crazy that you can't use pluses in GitHub. Like, it really bothers me. You can't use pluses in GitHub repo names. It's like something that I actually have problems with on a daily basis. Whatever.
I want your problems.
I feel like there was one specific one that, like, Florian from, FLK Auto Layout. Is that it?
Ooh, I like this. He just added a class method called Auto Layout View that just returns a view with the translates auto resizing masks into constraints to no.
Oh,
so it's just like ready to go. It's frameless. It's just like an empty instance of UIView. That's nice. Genius.
Nice.
What did you think of my idea of a block based method where you get to do all your frame math in a block and then it just like turns off auto layout for a second? We lay everything out and then flips it back on.
I think it sounds horrifying. I'm sure it would work. I'm also sure it would break horrifically on you at some point in some unexpected way.
Likely.
What else we got? I guess we can put a link to... All I ever do is do a pod search. You ever use the pod search functionality? CocoaPods?
No.
It's a super nice way. So, like, I'm looking for an auto layout thing. So I just do pod search auto layout and it just returns, I don't know how many things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 maybe libraries for auto layout. Super nice. So do that. Have we run out of things to say? I think it's pretty clear.
It's about that time.
I'm just kind of mumbling into the microphone at this point. Is there anything else to talk about with auto layout? I feel like I got everything off my chest.
Yeah, agreed.
All right.
Let's see. Threes.
Threes, auto layout.
Scale,
Facebook
joke,
scale.
Auto layout. Just... scale layer animations. I've exhausted my notes.
Okay. Did you have scale joke on there?
I actually did. So I had been planning for like 40 minutes for the proper moment to come up.
All right.
Be prepared.
Yeah, sure. So show notes for this episode will be at podcasts.thoughtbot.com/buildphase/26.
And we'd like to hear from you. So email us at buildphase@thoughtbot.com or reach out on Twitter or app.net at buildphase. Also, reviews and ratings on iTunes are the best.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Later.